Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. We'll read a little and then we'll jump down into the chapter some. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Let's jump down to verse 23 and let's talk about this. The Bible says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there." And you ought to just underline, that's the name of the message this morning, no night there. "And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to encourage our people. And Lord, there's a home beyond the river. And Lord, there is a real place that you're preparing for us. And Lord, I want to make it real. Thank you for choosing in this new city, in this new heaven, in this new earth, for you to choose to be the light source. Lord, I pray that we'd grasp what that means. And Lord, I pray that you'd make it real in our lives now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want all you young people to listen to me. If you're still in school, teenagers, children, I want you to listen very carefully. I think everybody, fourth grade on down's, for the most part, in the children's church services. But I want to talk to you about heaven a little bit, and I want you to understand some things about heaven. I think sometimes we've just allowed cartoons and Hollywood and foolish imaginations to conjure up in our minds something that we believe to be heaven that's not heaven. Let me say this, first of all, heaven is a real place. I mean, there's a city there called the New Jerusalem. And it's a real place. When I say a real place, I mean real streets, I mean real trees, I mean real houses. I'm talking about where you walk up and touch. I'm not talking about angel wings and harps and floating around on clouds. I'm talking about living in a city. I always say this, and I have to correct myself quickly. I always want to say, I'm talking about a real city like Jasonville or Linton. And then I think, wait a minute. Oh, no. Hold on a minute here. But as far as a city being real in our minds, you know, when you drive 10 miles south of here, you expect to drive into a city named Linton. And if it was gone, you'd be disturbed. Or if when you got there, it was just the figment of someone's imagination. I'm talking about a city. I'm talking about streets. I'm talking about 12 fruit trees, and every month they switch the types of fruit that they're producing. And you know what? It'll have enough where all of us can go by and get all we want. I'm talking about a city with a river. I like rivers. I'm hoping they'll let me fish. Amen. Maybe we'll have a bass boat or something, Brother Don. I don't know. But I'm talking about rolling up your robe and splashing in the river. I'm talking about folks. I'm going to tell you something. It's so much like earth, yet it has a glory about it. Yes, yet it has no curse. Yet it has no defects. It's a remade place, a real place. I'm talking about neighborhoods. I'm talking about visiting each other. I'm talking about going over and knocking on each other's door. And I'm hoping there's a big kitchen. And I was thinking that when Sister Ruthie passed away. I said, you know, she spent her whole life cooking meals and just an incredible cook. So maybe, part of me is kind of saying, maybe her reward is that she won't have to do that up there. But part of me is hoping that even though she's not required, she just goes and asks the Lord if she can anyway. Because I don't care what Bill English thinks about her yeast rolls. I like them, amen. You know what? I always liked her yeast roll. I'm talking about everything that you always wanted to be, but the old sin nature wouldn't let you be. All of a sudden you can be. Glory to God. I'm talking about just not having a peripheral relationship with Jesus Christ as the best we can with the boundaries of what we are and who we are in this old mortal flesh. I'm talking about being able to see him and talk to him. I'm talking about, man alive, it's a good thing we got a lot of time because there are a lot of people you want to see, isn't there? Man, I want to go talk to Jonah and find out what it was like to be in the belly of the whale. That ought to be a gross story, but pretty cool. And say, you know, when he puked you out, did he kind of hurl you? Did you like fly up into the air and then you land kind of in a big pond of vomit or what? What, you know, I want all the gory details. I want to know about this stuff. I want to know if Daniel, what was going on with the lions when they were in there, you know. I want to say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Come on. Tell me about that. I want to talk to every Israelite that walked across the dry ground going on the Red Sea and say, what'd you remember? What'd you think when you were walking through there? We've got so much catching up to do. You know what? It's not going to matter. You know, your wife's not going to call on the cell phone and say, why aren't you home? She's not going to do that. That'll be heaven. Amen? And you get caught. I'll say, well, somebody stopped by the church. And, you know, because I like to visit. Anybody here feel like you get to spend enough time with the people you want to spend time with? Anybody feel that way? Isn't it amazing how we just kind of run and we just catch snatches here and there? And even in our home, even in our family unit, it just seems like you raise your kids and 18, 19 years pass and you think, man, I didn't get to spend enough time with them. And yet there will be no clocks, thank God. There'll be no, oh my goodness sakes, well, I got to get home, it's nighttime. It's going to be a forever wonderful place. It's going to be great. I mean it. It's going to be beyond any words that I could, any description I could share. It's beyond anything you could imagine. When we get there, we're going to say, why did we cling so hard to this life? Why did we resist leaving as hard as we did? My goodness sakes, we'll never want to come back to an earth like this when we get to see the new heavens. Now, one of the interesting things about this place is the fact that, thank God, there's going to be no Duke Energy bills come in the mail. No need for REMC, and which, you know, provides light probably 26 days out of a year at our house, you know, on a good month. There's going to be no power outages. No storms ever going to knock electricity out because Jesus is going to be the light. Now, we get a little bit of this just by reading the scripture, and I won't do an exhaustive, I'll just bring two examples to you. But one time we saw Jesus take on this future glorified persona when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And I'll just read that to you in Matthew 17. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth him up into an high mountain apart. And was, notice the wording. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. Behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him. That's going to be, you say, Brother Jerry, I'd like to see that. Oh, you're going to see it all right. You're going to see it. But here, even while Jesus was in his earthly body, he took three disciples, and he said, I'm just going to give them a little glimpse of glory. I want them to see how I'm going to be in the future. And all of a sudden, notice what it says. These are the words of God. It says that his face did shine as the sun. We're not talking about flashlight here. We're talking about the sun and its strength. Then I think about John the Revelator when he was being given the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it into the seven churches which are in Asia. And it lists the churches. And then John says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of God, clothed with garment down to the foot, and girt about with the paps with a golden girdle, and his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they were burned in a furnace, and his voice was as the sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Notice this, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. So we see Jesus later on in his glorified body and the little glimpse before as he was transfigured. And you know what? Both people, both groups that witnessed this, they wrote it down and they said it was as if looking at the sun. It was as if the sun in its strength. And you know what, folks? Jesus is going to provide the light of that city. Now, it's not going to be like, I believe this, it's not going to be like the light that's provided by the sun. Even in its strength, you know what? There's shade. I don't think you'll go anywhere in heaven where there is light. I don't think there'll be a shadow. I don't think there'll be shade. I think the light will permeate inside, outside, everywhere the light of Christ will shine. There'll be no darkness at all. Say, what do you base that on? 1 John 1:5 says this, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So we're going to see that light. Now, I believe that. I believe that when we arrive at New Jerusalem, we are in this city, that Christ will provide the light. But let me say this. I believe that this darkness that's dispelled from heaven goes just beyond the physical darkness. I think there's some spiritual applications here. So let me share them with you, and I'll share the verses to prove what I believe here. But let me just say this. When you get to heaven, the light of Christ will not just make it so that there's no shadows and no darkness. It is going to dispel some things from heaven that we'll never, ever have to deal with again. Number one, the light of Christ will dispel the darkness of our limited understanding. I like 1 Corinthians 13:12. Think about it and see if it's not true in your life. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. One of the limitations that we have here on earth is that we cannot always fully understand or see what God is trying to accomplish by the things that he does. I spent a little time this morning talking to our young adult class about this. When the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. When he says that and gives that command, that is the right thing to do, that is the wise thing to do, but that is one of the hardest things to do as a Christian. You know why? We want to understand everything. We want to know why. We want to have everything explained to us. But you know what? Many, many things that will happen in this earth, God is going to give us limited understanding, or perhaps he will give us no explanation at all. All of you young people, look up here, let me help you. You know what? As things happen in your life, as they've happened in my life, all I can do is try to judge. If I lean to my own understanding, I just try to judge the wise based on my limited knowledge, limited perspective. I can't see what God sees. God is up above. God sees everything. God has a master plan. So he allows things to happen and causes things to happen. And sometimes I don't understand why he allows those things to happen. But I can't see what he sees. I just might see how that affects me. I can't see the long-term plan of God and what he's trying to accomplish in everybody else's life. So sometimes what I sense might be something bad, if I had his perspective, I'd understand that it's necessary for the ultimate good that he's trying to bring out in somebody else's life. And so, folks, listen to me. I believe that when we get to heaven, every single thing that we have either limited understanding about or no understanding about. We're going to have full understanding about in that day. Right now, we look through a glass darkly. Right now, we don't always know the whys behind what God's trying to do. But let me encourage you to do this. Trust in the Lord. Now, that's just not a preacher cliche. That's not something that the pastor says when he don't know what else to tell you. That is a way of life. Now, just stop here and let's just kind of relax back in there for a minute. Let's see if we can achieve this in our lives. I mean it. I want you to put this mindset on. I want you to live this way. I don't know what's going to happen this week. I don't know what the next phone call is going to bring into your life. But I can tell you this, God's never been surprised about anything. And God's on the throne. And God's in control. And you know what? He's working His will He's working His will out in this life. And you know what? There's going to be a lot of things that happen. And you know what? You're going to say, why God? And He's going to say, I'm not going to tell you. I just want you to learn to trust me. Now, maybe 5 years, 10 years down the road, you can look back and you can say, oh, I see. But would you agree with me that there are things in your life that is in the distant past and you still can't and still don't know the whys behind it? And you know what? God is not going to tell us some things. You know why? Watch this. Listen to me. He doesn't owe us an explanation about everything that happens. This is what He asks of us instead of that. You know, hey, wait a minute. God's supposed to report to you and explain everything? No. We're supposed to trust in the Lord. We're supposed to say, God, you know what? I just trust you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is a good way to live. Because I'm going to tell you something. Things are going to happen in your life. And you know what? You can either have an emotional breakdown, or you can fall apart, or you can get bitter, or you can hold a grudge against God, or you can trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lead not to thine own. I don't understand why, though, preacher. Well, there's a lot of things I can't. Hey, I'll tell you what. I'll make an appointment with the pastor, and he'll explain it to me. And you know what I'll do? I'll probably more times than not sit there and I'll shed tears with you. And I'll hurt with you. But the honest truth is, more times than not, I'll probably just have to say, I don't know. But I know who does. And I know there's going to be a day that He's going to make sure that we understand it. And you know what? So many things that we think are bad, when we get to heaven and see why God allowed it and what happened as a result that was outside of our vision, we're going to say, God is good. God was right. God is good. God was right. God is good. God was right. How could I have ever thought anything other than that? God is good. God is right. And we'll understand all things then. So trust in the Lord. The light of Christ will dispel the darkness of limited understanding. No longer will we see through a glass dark, but we will see face to face. No longer will we know in part. We shall know even as also I am known. So number one, the light of Christ will dispel the darkness of limited understanding. Turn to Romans chapter 7. I want to share something else with you here, and I want you to see these verses, or several verses I want you to read about. And then as I get about halfway through reading this, if any of this applies to you, or you, as I'm reading this, if you kind of see yourself, if you just want to throw a little amen in here, there, here and there, go ahead and feel free to do that. Let me tell you something else that the light of Christ will do. Not only will the light of Christ dispel the darkness of limited understanding, but the light of Christ will destroy the darkness of our carnal limitations. Paul wrote in Romans 7, verse 15, notice this. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Now there's some of you, a light's going on right now. What? Who? Paul? I thought I was the only Christian in the world that was true of. Notice this. Let's keep reading. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So here we have this old Adamic nature, this carnal nature, that you will not escape till you get to glory. This old body of the flesh that limits us and drags us down and causes us to stumble and doubt, and we're never going to be transformed, sanctified, glorified into the image of Christ till we stand before Him. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Well, we ought to underline that, and we ought to draw no good thing and draw a line and an arrow back to that word flesh. The minute you think, well, I'll just do this in the flesh. I mean, I'm tired of waiting, God, I'll just make it happen. I promise you, nothing good's going to happen. For the will is present with me. What he means by that is I want to do right, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. You ever just really, really, really made a decision? I mean, you come to an altar, make a decision, nail down, I'm going to tell you what, tomorrow, starting tomorrow, no more of this dilly-dally stuff, no more of this half-in, half-out stuff. I'm reading my Bible every day. Isn't it amazing that the minute that you say that, it's like Satan unleashes all the evil he can into your life to try to get you to eat your words. And you know what? The sad part about it is, come on, we might as well just talk openly. It usually works. So what are you saying, preacher? This doesn't sound very hopeful. Well, let's keep reading, amen. He says in verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members. He said, listen, this reborn part of me loves the Bible. My inward man delights to do the will of God, wants to do the will of God. It just has trouble getting out. But I see another law in my members, talking about your body, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, here's the answer to that question. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I don't want you to just give up. I don't want you to wave the flag. I don't want you to say, well, see, there it is. That the Bible says that even if you want to do good, you can't. And if you don't want to do evil, you can't help it. No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying that through Jesus Christ, you can have the victory. But will you experience total victory? Uh-uh. Are you going to mess up? Yeah. Are you going to sometimes be so determined to do the right thing and you know what, fall short? Yeah. Are you sometimes going to miss your prayer time? Yeah. Are you going to sometimes skip it? Yeah. Sorry. Yep. You're going to sometimes say, oh, Brother Jerry, I made a decision and... Yep, I know. Now, I'm not telling you to quit. I'm not telling you to give up. I'm telling you, let's look forward to heaven. You know why? Because this crazy war that goes on inside of us won't be going on anymore. Listen, you say, well, Brother Jerry, I got saved here a while back and I really wanted to change it. I really wanted to do right. And man alive, I got saved and followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And you know what, man? I figured from then on, buddy, and next thing you know, seems like the devil unleashed every hound of hell into my life to tear me apart and rip me apart and tear me down. And all I did was fumble and fail and fumble and fail. And Brother Jerry, you know what? Maybe I'm not cut out. Listen, I'm telling you that you sitting in the pew fight the same battle as I do standing in the pulpit. The best Christian around this church that you look at and thinks doesn't fight this war fights the same war you do. Listen, none of us are perfect. We're all struggling. We're all trying. We're all pleading for mercy. There's a reborn inward part of you that screams out, I want to do right. I want to please God. Then there's this old man that just seems like it rises up and frustrates us all the time. Remember, man, when you made that decision? I'm never losing my temper again. And then you did, and then you lost it because you got mad that you got mad. And then you think, forget it. I just can't do it. No. Listen to me. Don't be discouraged. You know what I'm telling you? Fight the good fight. Get up every day and try again. You know what's great about, listen, if you give up, you're never going to taste any victory. I'm not saying you're going to live a perfect life, but if you try and if you ask the Lord Jesus to help you and if you live through the Spirit and if you stay in your Bible, you know what? He is going to give you victories along the way. And you know what? Maybe you will never be on this earth all that you could be, but you could be a lot more than you were. And you know what's exciting is one of these days when we get to heaven, you know what? The corruptible will put on incorruption. The mortal will put on immortality. And everything that's in this flesh and this old nature will drop away. And I'm going to tell you, before you hit the clouds to meet Jesus, it's going to be gone and you'll never fight that battle again. Praise the Lord. The light The light of Christ will dispel the darkness of limited understanding. The light of Christ will destroy the darkness of our carnal limitations. Let me give you another thought. I like this too. The light of Christ will demolish the darkness of demonic powers. Ephesians 6:12 says this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What keeps us bound up in a constant wrestling match? Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness. There it is, the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness in high places. It just seems like, you know what, man, I'll tell you what. Our three enemies, I think I mentioned this the other night. Don't forget, you know what your three enemies is? Three enemies is the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Seems like we spend half time fighting against our own carnal nature, and then next thing you know, the devil comes in and jumps on top of that. You know what? The thing about it is, one of these days in heaven, the devil will never, never, never be able to walk through the streets of this New Jerusalem. He is not allowed there. By this time, he'll be bound in chains of eternal darkness, cast into the bottomless pit. I'm telling you, his days of causing trouble will be over once and for all. Over once and for all. My heart was, honestly, my heart was just broke again this week. I'm going to tell you something. I hate the devil. I hate it when he wins in somebody's life. I hate it. I don't know. Maybe I'm asking for too much here, and God may just slap me up the head one of these days for saying this out loud. But I'm really hoping that when Jesus gets him tied up real good, I'm really going to wait till he gets him tied up real good. But when he gets him thoroughly chained, and just about time he's ready to chuck him down into the bottomless pit, I'm going to say, Lord, please, one kick in the face. Let me just have one good kick in the face, man. Because I hate the devil. He's no friend of mine. By the way, young person, he's no friend of yours either. I'm telling you, he's not a friend of yours. You stay away from anything that smells like sulfur. You don't open doors into your life and let the devils of hell have free course in your life. And you just, if you got Harry Potter books, just burn them. That was free. Oh, but I like them. You know, the Bible preaches against sorcery. It's not shouldn't be a source of entertainment for Christians. Shouldn't be a source of entertainment for Christians. I mean, you got a Ouija board, you ought to burn that thing. You got anything to do with Satanism, you ought to burn that thing. You ought to. You got the wrong kind of music, you're just opening a door. Honestly, you are. Now, you can argue it. You can argue it all you want. But you got the wrong kind of music, opens the door to satanic spirits into your life. Right kind of music dispels satanic spirits and spirits of oppression out of your life. I'm just saying, he's not your friend. He's not your friend. His goal is to destroy mankind. His goal is to drag everyone to hell with him he can possibly drag to hell with him. His plan is to destroy every Christian he can possibly destroy. That's his plan. He's not your friend. He's not your friend. One of these days, you know what? The light is going to rule. And darkness will be dispelled. And you know what? In the bottomless pit will go Satan and his trinity. Satan, the false prophet, and the beast will be thrown in the lake of fire. And all of the demons of hell will be thrown in the lake of fire. And no loose demon, not even one small impish demonic spirit will escape to cause anybody any trouble anymore. Young people, don't hand the devil a victory. Let me tell you where some of you are opening a door, and I'm not going to preach a message on this now. I may preach a whole message on it soon because some of you really need to hear it. But my Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And young people, more than any other thing in your life, the way some of you are open up, well, I just don't understand why I can't live the Christian life. Well, the reason is because you're playing with witchcraft. You won't listen to your dad. You won't listen to him. You got this chip on your shoulder about your dad. You're disrespectful to your mother. You don't honor your parents. You think the way to prove that you are mature is to rebel, where honestly all that is proof of your immaturity. Not only that, it's opening the door of Satan. I mean, some of you, look up here. Are you a member of this church? Who's a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Raise your hand. You a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Okay. Then this is your pastor. I'm nothing. Christ is everything. I don't magnify myself, but I magnify my office. You get a rebellious spirit towards your preacher, and I'm going to tell you something. You're not hurting me. You're hurting yourself. I love you no matter what. I mean, I love you no matter what. I wish better for you, and I'll hate what you're doing to yourself, but I'll love you no matter what you do. But I'm telling you, you're opening doors. If the devil's climbed on your shoulder and has convinced you that I'm your enemy, that's not God speaking to your heart. Some of you that think I'm not, the honest truth is I'm the best friend you've got. Maybe outside your mom and dad, I'm the best friend you got. I'm on your side. I want what's best for you. I could help some of you boys if you'd let me help you. I could help some of you young ladies. Me and my wife sit and help some of you young ladies if you'd let us. Okay? By the way, parents, let me just throw this out. Okay? If your kids ask you if they can come talk to Pastor and Mrs. Ross, let them. Don't be so insecure that you won't let your teenagers have a pastor. You don't think I'm going to stand with you and for you? Are you listening to what I'm preaching this morning? You think I'm going to undermine you? I'm not. But if God didn't think your kids needed a pastor, he wouldn't have given them one. I want to help some. Some of you are struggling. Some of you are fighting a spiritual battle, and you're losing, and you know you're losing. And I'll turn my schedule upside down if you want help. I will. I'll turn my schedule upside down if you want help. But I'm saying this. You know what? Nobody's ever going to come to me in heaven and say, pray for me, man. I just feel like there's a demonic oppression in my life. There'll be none of that, brother. So how do you know there won't be a Hollywood in heaven? Because the demons are gone. Maybe somebody over in some mansion writing a Harry Potter sequel in heaven. Sorry, some of you that are Harry Potter worshippers. I'm just going to hit that again. If you got Harry Potter books, get you a barrel, put them in there, dump a bunch of oil in there, and just light them up and just, you know, have a big bonfire, all right? Don't be surprised if as the fire comes up, you don't see imps of hell flying out of the fire coming out of it. I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm serious as I can be. I can't believe what Christians are surrendering to and excusing and acting like there's nothing wrong with. Shameful, wicked. Yes, teaching our young people how to do incantations and cast spells and to trust in some type of a dark force. So that, and that's the hero of the book? Yeah, I'm telling you what, we need to have our head examined. Yes, well, you're not going to be able to take them to heaven. You may stick them in your coffin with you, but they're not going anywhere. Because the light of Christ will demolish darkness of demonic power. One last thought. Oh, I like the fact that Jesus will be the light. The light of Christ will dispel the darkness of limited understanding. He'll destroy the darkness of our carnal limitations. He'll demolish the darkness of demonic powers. But the light of Christ will forever, boy, don't forget this. The light of Christ will forever desert those who are sentenced to eternal darkness. And I wanted to remind you of this, is that heaven is contrasted with hell. Those of us that are saved will go and we'll live the rest of our eternity in the light of Jesus Christ. But you know what? There is a place, another place, that some will be sent to. And you know what? They will forever and ever and ever, never, ever see the light of Christ ever again. They will be in utter darkness. Matthew chapter 8, verse 12. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now look up here and I'm done. But I want to take a minute and talk to you that might be lost. Brother Jerry, heaven sounds like a wonderful place. Oh my goodness sakes, it's going to be. And Jesus is the light. Yes, he is. That's why there's no light in hell. You know why? Because there's no Christ in hell. And Christ is the light. If you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior and you die in your sins, listen, this isn't fairy tale stuff. This isn't Aesop's fables. This isn't some story that preachers tell to try to scare people. This is the absolute 100% Bible truth. If you die in your sins without Jesus Christ, there will be a day that you're cast into a bottomless pit where there will be utter darkness, outer darkness forever and ever and ever, and you will never see light again. Never see light again. Now, Christ will forever desert those that he casts into outer darkness. I don't want to end this message on heaven without telling you that there is a way to get there, but it's not through your goodness. It's not through church membership. It's not through baptism. It's not through being a good person. I said something this week. Some of you boys got me scared to death. You know what? You are hanging on to mom and dad's coattails. Because your mom and dad's Christians, because you've learned how to play the Christian game, listen, you will not be drug into heaven on your mom and dad's coattails. I don't care if your mom and dad's saved, grandma and grandpa's saved, everybody in your family's saved. You know what? You have to be saved in order to go to heaven. The only fear I have, those of you, I'm, by the way, thank God for those of you that, you know what, you attended church 9 months before you were born. I mean, you don't know anything else. But one of the fearful things in my heart is, God, don't let our kids grow up in this place and just become so accustomed to Christianity and learn the lingo and learn what to say that they never truly have a born-again experience in their life. Now, in order to be saved, folks, you have to be convicted of the fact that you are a lost sinner. Was there a time when God brought you under conviction of your lost situation, conviction of your sin, to the point where you knew that if you died, you would go to hell? Do you understand that? Were you brought under conviction of sin? Were you given a clear presentation of the gospel? Did you have a clear understanding of the gospel, of what it meant to be saved? Were you wooed by God? Because except the Father draw him, no man come to the Father except he draw him. Were you being drawn by God to salvation? And did you, in simple faith, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Listen, oh, well, my sister went up and got saved, and I looked and saw that and thought, well, maybe I'll go on up there too. Wait a minute. Did any of the things I just say happen in your life? Or did you just do it because you saw your sister got some attention, so I'm going to go get some attention too? Listen, you better listen to what I'm having to say here. The Bible says in that day there's going to be people say, Lord, Lord, did not we. And they're going to talk about all of the spiritual activity, but there was no born-again spirit in them. Wait a minute, Brother Jerry, what are you talking about? I go to a Christian school. All you're telling me is what you do. Those are works. That's not salvation. But I've read my Bible through. Great, great. You know how many people are going to be in hell that read the Bible through? Jesus looked at a trained Bible scholar and said, except a man be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. So you know what? If we're not careful, well, we can get all the religious trappings. We can learn the lingo, and we can learn when to stand and when to sit in the Baptist church, and we don't even have to look at the songbook because we know all the words to all the music. But wait a minute. Have you ever been saved? Because there's a place where there's light, and it's going to be a wonderful place. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. It's not going to be all that long. We're all going to be there. It ain't going to be all that long. Life's a vapor, appear for a short time, vanisheth away. That's what it does. Just comes and goes, and boom, there you go. Oh, brother, some of you teenagers, oh, Brother Jerry, some of the older folks will be passing away. Pretty soon, if Jesus tarries, it ain't going to be but a vapor's time. And you know what? Some young people are going to be saying that about you. Life comes and goes. We're all going to be in heaven one of these days. The trumpet's going to sound. God's going to put an end to this mess. The saved will be raptured out. The lost will be remain down here to go through the tribulation period. And one of these days, utter destruction. Listen to me. Are you born again? Are you born again? Because you know what? In heaven, there's light. But in hell, there is no light. No light. I want you to be saved. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Are you saved? Do you know that 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 you're saved? Do you know that you're saved? Has God done that work of grace in your life? Christians, keep on fighting. Keep on fighting. Don't surrender. Brother Jerry, I'm trying to live the Christian life and it's just not working. Listen, hang in there. God will help you. God will give you strength. God will give you some victories. Hang in there. Stay with the stuff. One of these days we're going to be in a place we don't have to fight these battles. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, is there anybody here today that's not saved? Preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure what would happen. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure where I'd go. I don't know what would happen. I'm fearful. It bothers me. If I died right now, I can't say with peace in my heart that I know that I'm saved and that I'd go to heaven. I just can't say that. I don't know it. I don't know that. But I want to know it. I want to nail it down. I want to have that assurance. Preacher, pray for me. God's working on my heart about salvation. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? I'm not sure that I'm saved, preacher. Just pray. Say a prayer for me. I'm struggling. I'm struggling with this a little bit. By the way, there's no shame in that. No shame in that. No shame on that. In that at all. Anybody at all. Anybody at all. Hey, Christians, Bible says Christ is the light of the world. Then Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Let's do the best we can to stand up for him and live for him and shine as bright as we can before we go to heaven so that others will be able to go with us. Heavenly Father, thank you for heaven. Thank you for the comfort that these verses give us. And Lord, we look forward to a day where so many of the things that we struggle and fight with, Lord, it'll all just be distant memories. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see and I'll look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Then he'll take me by the hand and lead me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that'll be. Lord, give us the strength to live for you until that day comes. We pray in Jesus' name.